Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is July 30th. This is Wednesday night. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C., here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Well, I'm going to start off with some good news here this evening, ladies and gentlemen. I got an email from one of our listeners in, I don't know where he's writing from, but needless to say, he was commenting on my recent program, I guess Monday night, in which I quoted a rather, I don't know how to describe it, unpleasant email to a chapter of the Council of Conservative Citizens, ripping into the Muslim people and the Islamic faith. And I indicated that I did not approve of what was said. Well, here is the email that I got. It speaks for itself. He says, "Hi, my name is so-and-so." He says, "I enjoy your show and listen to you, Rick Adams, the Liberty Hour, and the Political Cesspool on a regular basis." Political Cesspool, incidentally, is a very good radio program out of Tennessee, I believe, hosted by James Edwards. Nice fellow. He was a recent guest on the Liberty Hour with Mark Glenn and Phil Turney. In any case, our writer goes on. He says, "I'm writing to you today in reference to your show on Monday about the Council of Conservative Citizens. I'm a member of this fine organization. The CFCC is made up of individual chapters and are independent of each other. Yes, there are chapters that probably fall into that category of anti-Muslim because of the growing Muslim immigration problem in Europe, which we are not affected by here in the United States. Our immigration problem is mainly coming from Mexico. As far as foreign policy goes, a couple of years ago, there was a guest speaker at one of our national conferences that said Israel was our ally, and half of the audience stood up and booed him. I wish I had been there. I would have done the same thing. The majority of us are against the war in Iraq, and most of the CFCC members supported Ron Paul for president. I agree with you that a lot of patriots get misinformed and fall for the mainstream media propaganda lies." Goes on to say, "By the way, I listened to that misinformer of truth, Jim Mars, the other day that your listeners said to catch and call in, but the host, Josh, did not open up the phone lines at all. So listening to that show was like going to an all-night dentist." I never heard that before. I like that. "Anyway, keep up the great work, and I hope this helps you understand how the CFCC works and how independent each chapter can be." And actually, this person is writing from Missouri, and I thank him for that interesting, informative, and I might add, entertaining email, an all-night dentist. We should call Jim Mars Dr. Jim Mars from now on, our favorite patriot dentist. I could go on, folks, but I won't. I won't. I'm very tempted to comment about another broadcaster, not on this network, of course, who's been promoting this idea that the Nazis rule. And I listened to a tape of one of that broadcaster's programs, and what can I say? What a piece of work. No, the Nazis do not either rule or misrule America, nor do they have any prospect of so doing, despite the rumors you may have heard on some programming, but not here on this hour, or I hope any other hours on republicbroadcasting.org. We are going to the break, folks. Stay tuned.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful, attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Would you trade your freedom for a fresh tomato? Before you laugh, just look at the news headlines. The world food shortage is real and is happening right now. Are you prepared? Do you have a long-term food solution? Time is running out. Visit survivalistseeds.com. Learn how you can have healthy food for just 4 pennies a pound. The choice between abundance and starvation is made today, not when it's too late. Order from survivalistseeds.com today and get a free instructional video on how to make a portable water filter. That's survivalistseeds.com. Get 5,000 pounds of fresh food for 4 pennies a pound. Learn how to never run out of food at survivalistseeds.com. That's survivalistseeds.com. Remember, your lack of action today will determine your suffering after the collapse. Survivalistseeds.com. Because patriots never run out of food.
Do you ever forget names or where you left your glasses? Christine also realized she didn't remember like she used to.
I'm forgetting where things are occasionally, or I go into a room and I'm wondering, now, why am I here?
She often forgot and misplaced things like her keys.
I would spend so much time looking for things like that, and I just would assume that that was just a part of aging.
Then she discovered Prevagen. Special proteins in our brain responsible for keeping cells alive that control learning and memory are depleted with age. Now there's a new option to replace these proteins, Prevagen. If your ability to remember is fading with time, try all natural Prevagen, PrevaGen.com. That's Prevagen.com.
And I find that in my business, I'm able to focus on the tasks at hand.
To find out how to get a free bottle of Prevagen, call 888-814-0814.
And so I'm not as forgetful, and it's really helping me that way.
Call 888-814-0814.
Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Collins Piper arriving a bit late here. I have to say I was sitting here. I had just received an email from an old friend and associate that left me rather amused. He and I was just looking it over. He, it doesn't matter. Anyway, folks, I was scrambling around for something to read over dinner tonight. I have this odd habit of giving myself indigestion by devoting my lunches and dinners to reading newspapers and magazines. It's a rare time when I do have to actually sit down and do any reading, and generally I don't get enough of it done. But in any case, I came across a magazine which I did not know was still even being published. It's entitled Moment, subtitled Jewish Politics, Culture, Religion. And on the cover is a picture of Marlon Brando. Now, Marlon Brando is not Jewish. But the article that I'm going to talk about in a minute here touches on Godfathers, that is, organized crime Godfathers. And, of course, Marlon Brando, who was famously denounced for being anti-Semitic for comments that he made about Jewish power in Hollywood, he immortalized the concept of the Italian-American, quote-unquote, godfather in organized crime. But as those of you who have read my books know, and those of you who have done your own independent research know, the real fact is that organized crime in the United States has been essentially dominated at the highest levels and in all the key political slash organized crime machines in the country by Jewish crime interests. Well, I'm going to talk about that in a minute, but right now I want to talk about what I thought was a very candid and revealing article in this July-August issue of Moment. This talks about the presidential campaign of 2008, and the title is When Money Grows on Jewish Trees. Now, before I go into this, I hasten to add that if I wrote about this, or Mark Glenn wrote about this, for example, or many, many other people, David Duke, Patrick Grimm, any of the other, many, many other people out there who are writing about Jewish power and influence, Mark Dankoff, all the list goes on and on, Daryl Bradford Smith, if any of us wrote any of this or talked about any of this, we would be denounced for being insensitive. We would be called bigots, etc., etc. But anyway, here is what a Jewish writer named Benjamin Schumann Stoller writes in this magazine about Jewish politics, culture, and religion. He says, no matter how much they emphasize their differences from one another on the campaign trail, Barack Obama and John McCain share a common denominator: Jewish fundraisers. Penny Pritzker serves as Obama's national finance chair, and Elliot Brody is the Republican National Committee Finance Committee chairman. They both raise tons and tons of money. He writes, these amounts are nothing to scoff at, and they highlight the influence of Jews in American presidential races. Now, note he does not use the term Zionists. He uses the term Jews. Now, I know the use of that term Jews upsets people. If you do a search of the word Jew or Jews on Google, you will get an immediate notice saying, we know that maybe some of the things you found here were offensive, and blah, 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 blah. But anyway, he goes on to say that it's no secret that Jews are politically active, but then adds, but it is in the realm of campaign finance that Jews, who comprise less than 2% of the population, play a disproportionately prominent role. His words, not mine, a disproportionately prominent role. Now, if I wrote that it was disproportionately prominent, people would say, oh, isn't it terrible that Piper is raising the point of someone's religion? I mean, what's a person's religion matter? It doesn't matter. We're all allowed to participate in the political process. Why is he pointing out that someone is Jewish? Well, this is Benjamin Schumann Stoller. That sounds like a Jewish name, folks. I could be wrong, but I think he is a Jew. A Jewish person, maybe I should say, because we're not allowed to say someone is a Jew. You have to say a Jewish person. He's writing about when money grows on Jewish trees, not Gentile trees, not Christian trees, not Seventh-day Adventist trees, Jewish trees. He quotes Leonard Dinnerstein, University of Arizona professor of history, who says, Jewish fundraising has become so central to campaigns that nobody renounces Jews and expects to be reelected. Well, according to Dinnerstein, the first example of a large-scale Jewish fundraising mobilization occurred around the partition of Palestine and the creation of Israel. He says, paraphrased by this writer, the success of that campaign established the small minority as an important and organized fundraising network. Now, here's what's interesting. In the 2000 election cycle, the Jewish quote-unquote network has helped raise more money than any other cycle in history. So this campaign, we're talking about a massive amount of money, more than any other in history, being raised by two Jews operating through their respective political party organizations, manipulating a wide-ranging array of campaign fundraisers around the country. Now, it goes on and on and on, talks about various ins and outs of this. And it says, regardless of party affiliation, Jews are among the country's most generous political supporters. And they quote a gentleman named Foreman, who's not quite sure who he is here. I lost track of who he was. But anyway, Mr. Foreman, who I believe is involved in Democratic Party, Jewish affairs in the Democratic Party, Ira Foreman, he says, there is no doubt that part of what makes the Jewish community so good at fundraising is a certain philanthropic ethic. Talk about chutzpah, ladies and gentlemen. This is the first time I have ever heard philanthropy correlated with political fundraising. Political fundraising, let's face it, is one of the dirtiest, most crooked, low-down forms of graft that we have in America today. And this guy is saying that what makes the Jewish community so good at fundraising is that it's a certain philanthropic ethic. Oh, my God. Oh, I've heard it all now. I mean, you know, this really raises some interesting analogies. No, I won't even go into it. I don't want to get too scatological or pornographic. I'd start to sound like Eric Hufschmidt, but to compare philanthropy with political fundraising, well, actually, maybe there is a comparison now that I think about it, because we do know that so much so-called philanthropy in this country, Jewish and non-Jewish alike, is actually really a cover for political power and influence. So I suppose in that sense, there is a parallel between philanthropy, so-called, and political fundraising. But I want to tell you something, folks. You know, over the years, so-called conservatives have screamed their heads off when anyone has talked about public financing of presidential elections, saying, oh, you know, this is socialistic, this is anti-American, this is communistic, this is that. Well, I'll tell you what, I don't give a damn what these conservatives say about it. I think we should ban all private political contributions. I think we should ban political action committee money. I don't think corporations should be able to make contributions. I don't think political organizations should be able to make contributions, whether they're lobbies, think tanks, newspapers. I don't think individuals should be allowed to make political contributions. I mean, with all the tax money we waste on so many other things, I think it would be productive to have a certain amount of money set aside from the federal budget to finance our elections. That means that if a candidate is running for the Senate, he gets such and such an amount of money equivalent to what's needed for advertising in his state. Newspapers should, as a public service, give forums to all the candidates. Let people get it that way. Let's get the money out of politics. Because right now, most of that money is Jewish money. But I'm talking about any kind of money. Just let the taxpayers fund it. Then we can get people who can administer our taxpayer funds honestly. But I guess first we'll need a revolution in this country to get that. Stay tuned.
Each client
has a unique situation.
Each client is first and foremost
an individual.
Each client with Onesti Investment Advisors has a different set of goals,
time frames,
risk tolerance,
and needs.
But the philosophy at Onesti Investment Advisors always remains the same.
One,
the preservation of capital.
Two,
consistent profitability. And
three,
the pursuit of superior returns.
In that order.
CFP Certificate, John Onesti has over 14 years in the financial services industry and understands the complexities of today's markets. At Onesti Investment Advisors, we have no conflicts of interest, so we look out for you, our client. The better you do,
the better we do.
To learn more about our products and services, call Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Visit us online at onestiadvisors.com or
click on our banner ad on the RBN website.
Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. Referring back again to Moment. Here is the cover story accompanied by this picture of Marlon Brando. It says, "Who's your godfather? How some Jews are, proudly, rediscovering their gangster roots." It quotes, this story quotes author and genealogist Ron Ahrens, who has made it his job to help people who are curious to dig up information about their shady ancestors. It quotes him as saying, it's not a direct quote, it's a paraphrase, but it says, "There's a criminal in every Jewish family." Mike Piper didn't say that. Mike Piper did not say that. Jewish writer Ron Ahrens is quoted to that effect in this Jewish-oriented magazine Moment. Now, it's interesting. You know, I got thinking about this now. To the best of my knowledge, only one member of my family in recent generations that I'm aware of, and I don't know that much about my family history, only one member of my family spent any time in jail, a couple months for drunk driving. I hope he's learned his lesson. I haven't touched alcohol and got behind the wheel in many, 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 many years, and I would never do it again. But in any case, then I start thinking about, I've known a lot of people over the years who've been in jail, mostly on petty theft charges or small-time drug charges. You can't live in Washington, D.C., here on Capitol Hill, without knowing a lot of people. I've known a lot of people, street people out in the streets, who've had drug problems and drinking problems and in and out of jail and petty crimes charges. I knew one person who went to jail years and years ago as a teenager for killing somebody in a fight defending his sister's honor. I've known a lot of nice people who've been in jail. I've known a lot of people who've been framed on political charges. Talk about Congressman Jim Trafficking, who's in jail now. Congressman George Hansen. I've known, I've heard stories about people all over the country. And the thing is, I know enough about the real world to know that there's a lot of people who've been in jail who made mistakes. They paid their prices. You know, usually a lot of these people convicted on drug charges, they're harming themselves more than they're harming anybody else. But I find it, frankly, extraordinary that a respected Jewish magazine such as Moment would have a cover story saying how some Jews are proudly rediscovering their gangster roots and how they're really intrigued and excited about the fact that their grandfathers and great-grandfathers were figures in organized crime, importing drugs into this country. You know, I mean, the list goes on and on, you know, white slavery. You know, you mean making out Meyer Lansky? They quote his step-granddaughter calling him an American icon. She set up a website dedicated to his memory. I just, you know, my ancestors, like I say, I don't know that any of them were involved in organized crime. Maybe they were. You hear stories about, you know, marital infidelities in your family and, you know, all these kind of things. But, you know, I just find this interesting. I don't know. This is just my thoughts on the matter. That this magazine would say how some Jews are proudly rediscovering their gangster roots. I just the thought. I don't mean to pick on the Jews here, believe it or not. If this was a Catholic, a magazine called Moment, Catholic Politics, Culture, and Religion, I just can't imagine it saying how some Catholics are proudly rediscovering their gangster roots or how some Serbian Americans are rediscovering their gangster roots, or how some Native Americans are rediscovering their gangster roots. But no, here it is, right here in the pages of Moment. That's a moment and a half, I want to tell you. I'm just reading what they have written, folks. And if we're talking about it, you know, this will be used as evidence by the Anti-Defamation League on their file. But, oh, Mike Piper, here's how they'll play it. Piper has gone on his program and alleged that Jews are involved in organized crime, or talks frequently about Jews being involved in organized crime. Yes, yeah, no, Moment talks about it here, ladies and gentlemen. And, in fact, there's any number of books out written by Jewish authors bragging, really, in a sense, bragging about the Jewish role in organized crime. Isn't that interesting? I do know that one Jewish author who put out a book many, many years ago called The Rise and Fall of the Jewish Gangster in America reissued his book a few years ago, and in a little introduction to the new edition, he noted that copies of his book seem to have disappeared from many public libraries in the United States, and he Riley commented that he thought this was a tribute to the fact that people really liked his book and felt the need to steal it from the library. I would contend, quite contrary, that, well, let's be honest and face it, agents of the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith were extracting that book from public libraries. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, that's what it's all about. All right, we have a good lineup of callers here, and I'm going to go to the callers right when we come back, so stay tuned. Try to get everybody in here tonight.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Question: is the world getting better or vastly worse? A world economic collapse could come any day. Question: are you prepared or are you ignoring the signs? Question: do you have 7 years of healthy food for your family? Answer. Go to survivalistseeds.com now. 12,000 seeds giving you 5,000 pounds of food for just 4 pennies a pound. Without a long-term food solution, your choices are limited. Visit survivalistseeds.com and check out our doomsday water filter system. Without water, you die. It's all online at survivalistseeds.com. Are you prepared? That's survivalistseeds.com. Go to survivalistseeds.com. Do it now or become property of the New World Order.
Hi, I'm Ayala Jags. I'm in business just like you. I spend a lot of time on my cell phone and I'm very concerned about the potential dangers of cell phone radiation, and you should be too. I found dozens of studies from around the world linking cell phone use to everything from skin conditions to brain tumors. It's shocking, it's scary. Numerous products claim to block cell phone radiation, but do they really? Then I found the WaveShield. It's the only shielding device that has survived rigorous testing in FTC-listed lab and is proven to block up to 97% of cell phone radiation from entering your sensitive inner ear. The Wave Shield is easy to apply, it fits almost every phone, and it really, really works. Don't take chances. Protect yourself, protect your family. The Wave Shield is only $19.95. Take just a moment. Call and order your Wave Shield right now. The evidence is growing. Why take a chance? Protect everyone you love. Call now.
866-989-9147.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had 2 mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation, because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Jewish Crime Hour with your host, Menachem Bernard Piper. You know, during the break, I was scrambling through my brain to try to remember a few of the people I've known who've been locked up. And you know, it's funny, two of the nicest people I've ever known, one of them a very, very talented carpenter and woodworker, they happen to be brothers-in-law, and both these guys ended up in jail at roughly the same time for stealing two separate boats. What can I tell you? I don't know what the attraction was about stealing boats in that family, but evidently that they were not really a seafaring family either. But in any case, two of the nicest people I've ever known. And you know, it's really funny about it. The first time I met the one guy was when my sister-in-law's father, who was a very popular sheriff, your old-style down-home sheriff that everybody liked, even the prisoners that would lock him up, the old-style peace officer, as our friend Jack McLam likes to commemorate and would like to see more of in this country today. First time I met the one boat thief was when my sister-in-law's father, my brother's father-in-law, gave me a tour of the jail. And lo and behold, there was somebody I knew. I said, hey, yeah, I know you. And everybody loved the sheriff. Those were the days. All right. Well, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Floyd in Missouri. Floyd, how are you this evening?
Yeah, Michael. You were talking about something as one of the things I've been advocating for a long time, and I call it state-sponsored elections.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And the way I think it should be done is that the government should issue to the eligible voter a voting voucher that can be spent on the candidate of their choice. It seems to me that if we're going to have a government of the people, then the people should be candidates should be elected by the people. And the way I see that being guaranteed is to have only the people doing the voting, and then they'd be subsidized by the government. And there sure is plenty of money in the government to spend a little bit on it, on getting the people's choices.
You know, what's interesting about that, Floyd, that brings up a point that a lot of people are not aware of, and I guess it took me a long time to figure it out myself, and I always like to fancy myself kind of a in-tune kind of guy politically, but what people don't realize is that these elections, the Republican and Democratic primary elections that are held across the country for state, local, federal offices, including the presidential primaries, these are administered by the political party organizations. And then the government spends a certain amount of money to, you know, to set the operations up. But really, these are private clubs that are operating. And then you have all these outside organizations and wealthy individuals, you know, getting money together. We had Baron Rothschild in London holding a fundraiser in London for John McCain so that a bunch of rich Americans in the Rothschild sphere of influence could give money to McCain's campaign. Why not have the taxpayers finance the elections and keep private money and personal money and corporate money out? I think that's about the, if we're going to have elections in this country, that seems about the cleanest way to do it.
And I think there's some precedent for it. I believe I heard some time back that the state of Arizona was sponsoring some elections, and some ordinary people ran for political office because they had available money from the state to run for an office. I don't know if you know anything about that or not.
No, I never heard about that, but it certainly makes sense. And, you know, I don't know why, you know, I mean, well, I know why it can't be done. I know why it's not being done, because the political power groups, you know, we have, over the years, we've had all these so-called election reform measures, you know, and campaign money reform measures, but they've all had these funny little loopholes in them that make the rich people and the corporations all the more powerful. And, that, you know, if we're going to continue on the course that we are now holding elections, and if we're really serious about reforming them, that's one way to start doing it. You know, I mean, even as far as, you know, as far as newspapers are concerned, we have state, we have big newspapers, we have small newspapers, we have weeklies. For local elections, the counties could buy advertising in the newspapers, in which the candidates are allowed to state their opinions, you know, each given the amount of equal amount of time. I mean, you know, there's any number of ways. I mean, we could debate this for hours, but I just think it's something to consider.
Can't debate it with me because I agree with it.
All right. Well, listen, I appreciate your call, Floyd.
Yeah.
I'm glad there's somebody out there thinking along the same lines I am.
Yeah. Well, good luck with it. And
All right. Thanks a lot, Floyd. All right. Let's go to Byron in Canada. Byron, come on up.
Yeah, hey, Mike, a couple things. When there's elections that's going to be held, why do they have to start campaigning 2 years ahead of the election? Why can't they have it? Okay, you know, each party, they elect their leaders by either delegates or whatever. 30 days, they call it, election is called, whatever date it is. And then you run your election. Like, why do you have this campaign for 2 years? You know, if you didn't have the campaign for 2 years, just think how much less money people could donate and have that much more influence
on
people.
Well, there you go, Byron. There's another, I think that makes absolute sense. I mean, I think there's another thing, you know, if we're gonna accept the premise that our elections are based, you know, again, this is accepting the premise that our elections are not controlled, and I do believe the elections are controlled, but But if we accept the premise that the elections are not, that they're really honest as best they can be, yeah, why is it necessary that there be this amount of time? I mean, why not have a requirement that a person can only file 1 month before the primary and that they cannot engage in any overt campaigning until, what, 1 month, 2 months,
well,
whatever.
1 or 2 or 3, whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly. These are all the fine points, but, you know, as I said, that could be debated time and time again, but I really think it's a pretty basic, I'll tell you what, it's so basic, Byron, and it's so obviously much cleaner. That's precisely why they don't want us to do it that way.
Well, sure. And, you know, the other thing is, like, TV time, they say, is so expensive. Well, doesn't the government own the airwaves?
That's kind of, well, yes and no. That's kind of a fine point to debate, too. I mean, yeah, the whole concept of broadcasting is completely different from publishing newspapers. So, yeah, that opens up another issue altogether. But, you know, part of it, Byron, and this is very simple and very easy to understand, part of the reason why, well, let's put it this way. The whole election process has been turned into a racket in and of itself. This week in American Free Press, the one issue that goes to press on Thursday, Chris Petherick, former managing editor of the paper, has a column in which he points out that what's his name? Bob Barr, who's now the Libertarian Party presidential candidate, he has had this fundraising organization, the Bob Barr Leadership Fund, which has raised money to raise money to raise money, ostensibly to give to political candidates. But much of the money that's being raised is not actually going to the candidates themselves. It's going to the administration of the so-called Leadership Fund. Now, this is another thing that's plagued the so-called conservative movement in the United States for years, where all these mailing list tycoons, you know, they send out these letters saying, oh, we have to save the Panama Canal, or we have to do this, or we have to do that, give us your money. And the money goes to a P.O. box in Washington or Virginia, and then it goes into a bank account, and then it's divvied up. Well, I've always pointed out the big difference between, for example, the fundraising that American Free Press does and the fundraising that these so-called, many of these so-called conservative outfits do, is that American Free Press raises the money so that it can continue publishing. You know, obviously, right, to pay the salaries for the writers and the administrative workers and to pay the printing and so forth. And American Free Press barely survives. I can tell you that for a fact. But a lot of these other outfits that collect money in the name of a good cause, the very little of the money actually goes toward the cause itself.
Right.
So you know when you're making a donation to American Free Press or likewise to Republic Broadcasting, the money goes to keep the operation going. You get, when you give money to Republic Broadcasting, you help keep it on the air and you make possible, you get a product. You can tune in on the internet, and you get your live broadcasting from RBN, and you get your archives that you can listen to at any time, day or night, anywhere in the world when you have a computer. When you give money to American Free Press, you get a newspaper every week. You know, so that's part of the problem too with politics in America, that many people have turned it into a racket to line their own pockets.
Well, I mean, definitely the news media and the television, they sure like these long, drawn-out elections. Hey, there's one other thing. You know, you were talking about the Jewish people, how they're starting to come out and they're proud of their history. You know, or their background, their criminal background. You know, wasn't that long ago, Jews used to change their names, hide their identity. And it just shows you how far things have swung in the other direction now, where it's very
That's
popular.
That's an interesting point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very popular now to be Jewish. You even see the movie stars, you know, that has married out of their race, but now because it's more beneficial to be called Jewish, you'll see more and more of these people coming out and say, well, I'm Jewish, and yet, you know, their mothers or their fathers or something else. You know, and I just find it kind of funny that, you know, in my lifetime, they used to hide their identity. But the other thing I'd like to say is, you know, we always marvel about how great a business people, Jewish people are. And I've always said, well, if they weren't thieves and crooks to start with, to gain their wealth, you know, once you gain your, you get your money, you know, it's pretty hard, it's easy to be successful. It's getting that first big batch of money, and just like that guy said, that most of these Jewish people that are very wealthy now do have a criminal background where they did get most of their fortune.
Well, and, look at the Bronfman family. Yeah. I mean, they they made their money in organized crime. I mean,
oh yeah, here in Canada, we got there's a city called Moose Jaw, and it used to be where the what the heck they call it, where the gangster Al Capone. And those guys, they supposed to came into Moose Jaw and under the city, you know, where they run their whiskey, and the Brothmans, they used to come. In fact, where I live, 30 miles from where I live, they used to run their whiskey. That was before my time, but talking to some of the older guys just a few years ago. But about 30 miles from where I live, they used to come through there and buy their whiskey from different people.
You know, that's funny, Byron, because that's a point I have made time and again, that a lot of people just don't realize that some of the big fortunes in the northern states of the United States and in the southern provinces of Canada on the border came out of organized crime, elements of the Bronfman family organized crime network with Meyer Lansky smuggling liquor and drugs and all sorts of other things over the borders. So that's a fact. You know, it's interesting. Everybody thinks of the state of Minnesota as kind of being like Canada South, you know, a very mild-mannered, kind of quaint little state. Well, you know, the city of Minneapolis was run for years by Jewish organized crime. And there was a major Supreme Court case, the name of which escapes me, that dealt with the fact that a newspaper publisher had dared to point out that there were Jewish racketeers operating in Minneapolis. And there was lawsuits that came out of it and so forth. And then there was a major First Amendment case here in the States, but when Hubert Humphrey, who was senator from Minnesota, was sworn in as vice president of the United States in 1965, the man who held the Bible for Hubert Humphrey was the organized crime boss of Minneapolis, a Jewish organized crime boss who had been involved in pornography and, I presume, prostitution and bootlegging and gambling and you name it, you know what I mean? And that's the man who held the Bible for the man who was next in line for the American presidency. So what can I tell you?
Yeah, anyway. It was a great show, Mike, and I'll get off and let somebody else.
All right, thanks for calling, Byron. All right, let's go to Dave in South Carolina. Dave, come on up.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
What's going on?
Oh, not much. Well, if you don't have any criminals in your family up to this point, you do now. you anti-Semite, you're going to a gulag someday, you know that, don't you?
Well, you know, that's funny. Mark Glenn and I were having a conversation. Oh, was that today, I guess? You know, we were talking about the fact that times are getting very dangerous.
Indeed.
In this country, and he said, he and I probably don't have to worry about it because we'll probably end up being among the first people picked up and shipped off to the gulags anyway. So,
well, I'm thinking about this. I wonder if any of these guys, you know, it's amazing what Jewish publications they put out for themselves, you know. I wonder if any of them are rediscovering their roots in, you know, communist murderer societies from Russia and the Soviet Union. I'm sure they're looking forward to it.
You know, I'm laughing, but it's not funny at all. I mean, you're
deadly.
Absolutely right.
It's okay. They're God's chosen people, so don't
Yes,
matter.
That's exactly right. And, you know, yeah. Thank God he has some chosen people.
Indeed. You know, the thing about it being is that, you know, they own both horses in the race. They always have, as long as for a long, long time in this country, you know, and, you know, of course their religion tells them it's their responsibility as the self-chosen tribe to make decisions for the rest of us. So,
well, you know, it's funny. Now, I would tend to agree with you that they, quote-unquote, own both horses, but at the same time, I think, you know, a good example. Now, like in the 1972 presidential election, now, Richard Nixon always had, how can I describe this, an unpleasant relationship with the American Jewish interests. But it's very interesting, in 1972, although the Jews really did not like Richard Nixon, even though he had Henry Kissinger in there, and Nixon, we know now, was doing stuff behind Kissinger's back, but
talking to Billy
Kissinger and the Jews did not like. But in 1972, very, very interesting, and I didn't discover this until many years later, but in 1972, a lot of the Jewish money went out of the Democratic Party and went for Richard Nixon because the Jews did not trust George McGovern. They really didn't think that George McGovern was the kind of guy they could rely upon. And as a consequence of that, you know, they went for Richard Nixon. But then, of course, within a year of Nixon being reelected, they pulled Watergate on him. And based on all my research, I've written about it in Final Judgment. Other people have written about it. Even Spiro Agnew himself talked about it in his book, Go Quietly or Else. There was a very, very strong, quote-unquote, Jewish connection. Those are my words there. A Jewish connection to the events of Watergate. So they got Nixon in the end. All right, Dave, thanks for your call. Good to hear from you, as always. Stay tuned, folks.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here at republicbroadcasting.org. We're wrapping up the hour. We won't be able to get in everybody tonight, but we'll squeeze in Rick from Ohio. Rick, how are you this evening?
Hey, Michael.
What's going on, Rick?
Yeah, that article from that Jew, that's called chutzpah, I think is how they call it.
I think that's what it is.
He's trying to say that Jews can raise money real good because they're talented at it. Yeah, I guess so. When you own the media and you control all the thoughts that are put out in the minds of the public, I guess that's pretty easy to beat.
I think you're right. I never even thought about that, but you're absolutely right. Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's also interesting. I noticed that he goes back to Truman as his example of great Jewish fundraising, that reminded me of the documentation that came out that the Truman recognized the bandit terrorist state of Israel when the entire Foreign Service Department of the State Department strongly admonished him not to do it, that it would destroy America in the end, they told Truman. But Truman went ahead and did it anyways. He recognized Israel, and he said, I cannot afford to offend the Jews.
Well, in fact, it's known that Jewish millionaires put up $500,000. That was a lot of money in those days. $500,000 in cash was delivered to Truman's whistle-stop campaign train in 1948. So, yeah, I mean, you know, hey, this is what do they say? Money is the mother's milk of politics. It just so happens that the cows, though, are all Jewish.
Yeah, and you can control the cows very easily when you control the newspapers, the magazines, the book publishing, the television, and nobody even talks about it.
Well, but if you do talk about, you know, it's free. This is the funny part about it. Jewish newspapers brag about it. Jewish newspapers revel in it. But if anybody outside the loop talks about it, oh, my God, you got another Nazi here ready to gas 6 million Jews or more.
Well, we got to get ready to become Nazis then, because we got to start talking about it. We've got to alert people, because these people out here, they've got to understand where this propaganda is coming from. We've got to stand up and make a stand against it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's really the bottom line. I mean, and now I'm repeating myself, but I'm going to say it again and again and again. We have this nonsense out there about how the Nazis and their admirers have taken over the country or are working to take over the country. And, you know, there's unfortunately a lot of people who believe this, but I'm telling you, it is not Nazi money that has been infused into these elections. I quoted these Jewish sources. Now, there's people out there right now, Rick, who are saying, well, they're really agents of the Illuminati or agents of Teutonic Zionism or agents of the Vatican posing as Jews, trying to make Jews look bad. No, that's not the case at all, Rick. Let me put it this way, these are Jews behaving as Jews, bragging about their power, bragging about their influence, and bragging about the fact they've got us coming and going. They've got us over a barrel.
Well, we're going to slip them a little monkey wrench here on Labor Day weekend up in Minneapolis. We're at the big mass rally in the Target Center at the Rally for the Republic.
Yeah, you know, I tell you, they're going to try to ace their way into that, too.
Oh, sure. They are. Yeah, that's why good patriots have to show up there and make sure they don't succeed at it. CampaignForLiberty.org. Tickets are still on sale. It's about half sold out already.
Well, that's
talk
a good
later,
start.
Michael.
All right, thanks for your call, Rick. All right, apologies to those other callers we couldn't bring up, but God willing, we will be here tomorrow night. So, in the meantime, stay tuned for more good programming here at RepublicBroadcasting.org. Check out that website. A lot of good books and products available from RBN. Patronize RBN. Make a donation to RBN. Get your checkbook out. That's a good contribution. You know where it's going. You get a product every night, every hour.
Gold has been.